single mom. I know all these things were in place. Amen. Now, I did my part, amen, because before I was born, every day of my life was recorded in his book. So me sitting in breakfast at the Hilton Americanas was already recorded in God's book, and God wanted an interaction to occur, and it did occur. I did the will of God, but she was not susceptible to the will. Some of you saw that movie Adjustment Bureau, where the angels had to keep adjusting stuff because that young couple was supposed to meet up at a certain time, be in a certain place. Y'all, that is kind of revelatory. That is kind of how the kingdom works. That is kind of what God wants. And I want you all to know, we're going to finish this verse. I want you all to know that floating over your head every single day is a roadmap of what God wants to see happen in that day. I want you to pray at 8. Once you go off to work, you're going to go get some coffee at Dunkin' Donuts, and it's going to be a person at the cash register. And the enemy has a brain aneurysm plan for them. But if you can get to them in time, if you can share Jesus with them in time, get them to KCOH by Sunday, because the aneurysm is planned for next Tuesday. And they get here, and the word of faith is taught, and the man of God lays hands and destroys the yoke of the anointing. Or you lay hands in the Dunkin' Donuts and destroy the yoke by the anointing, I should say. What the enemy has planned for that person will not occur. But if we're going to get there, we can no longer, come on, Paul, live for ourselves. Are y'all in here tonight? Is that okay if I can we break through tonight? Come on, y'all. This really not a hoop it out. This is really heart to heart. This is really revelatory. This is really pushing you into what God really genuinely wants for your life. We'll get to the benefits, but stay with me, because God, amen, saw you before you was born. Every day of your life was recorded in his book. Every moment was laid out before one single day ever passed. Before you ever, amen, came out of mama's womb, your whole plan, the whole trajectory of your life was lined up where God wanted you to be at what point and at what time. And I know, thank God for his grace that got all of us back on track. I needed his grace. That's what grace is for. Pastor says it so well. Grace is the space. So we're not going to negate that. But Jesus said something, amen, to the rich young ruler. He said, but wait a minute now. I have a perfect will. And if you want to be perfect, should we be striving though?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. See, this gets in trouble in postmodern Christianity because all, as we would say, the greasy grace guys have taught you is how to slip up and dip and trip and never get right, never get on track, never get it together, never commission yourself that, amen, I'm not going to fall short in this area another day in our life. And because of that vain teaching and preaching, because of all of those wrong exposures, because of all of that wickedness, your paradigm, your mindset has literally adjust it to an idea that you don't have to ever line up with anything that God might want to happen. But the revelation of that is, what happens if God don't need you anymore? Because after all, if he's not going to do my will, why should I keep him here? I wish I had some help in the room tonight. I mean, he's not going to do what I ask him to do. And notice I did not say God's going to kill you. Watch this. The will of God keeps a hedge around you so that Satan can't kill you. Are you all in here? Oh, come on. Kiki had it right. The safest place in the whole wide world is in the will of God.
That's true.
Is this true tonight?
Yeah.
So what if I'm in church tonight, and as a result of being in church tonight, I'm not breathing in radon gases at some restaurant, not even knowing that it is creating a cancerous tumor inside of me? Y'all, come on, y'all. Look at this lapel mic. Do you know even just the rays that's going back and forth just to amplify my voice? If that can happen in the natural and you can't see that, what about all the spiritual activity that's going on around you on any given day to fulfill the agenda of the devil or to fulfill the agenda of God? Will you get a clue, amen, that it just makes sense to say yes to the Lord right now so I can miss everything that the enemy has planned for me and never miss God another day in my life? on, make a fake proclamation. Lift your right hand, say, I want to be perfect. Woo, we pushing on that, man of God. No, I want to be perfect. I'm not legalistic because I want to be perfect. I didn't say I would be perfect all the time. I don't always have perfect thoughts, but guess what? There are no original thoughts, so when the wrong thoughts come, that ain't me anyway. I get to decide which thought I'm going to go with. Bible says when the thought entered Judas to betray Jesus, on any given day, I get to wake up. Come on, who are we really fighting? Am I going to side with God or am I going to side with the devil? The thought is not the problem. Just because you had a thought of undressing a young lady, that's not the issue. Amen. That's demonic outside oppression that wants to get in. But come on, Jesus, take no thought. Say it. Don't say it and don't do it. But instead, cast down every imagination that would exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ. And that is not just pornography. Sometimes imaginations come to get us out of the plan of God. Discouragement. Come on, class. Come on. It don't look like it's working. Isn't that right? Come on, come on, come on. Why am I doing this after all? Come on, somebody. Y'all in here tonight. It's no use. I'm tired of showing up. But I'm telling you, baby, if you don't get weary and well doing in due season, you're going to reap. If you faint not, hallelujah, because God's got an excellent plan for your life. Is that all right, man of God?
Man of God.
We got to get better, First Lady, at projecting the plan of God. We got to read our Bible, even if you don't have a revelation on all that's getting ready to happen in your life. Come on, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plan. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Give you a hope, give you an expected end. Is that a lob right there?
That's a lob.
Is that a lob that there's some great things that I have in store for you, that I want to do some great things for you? So come on, narrow is the way. So if you just stay in the narrow way, because come on, there is a way that seemeth right, but come on, if you stay in the narrow way, hallelujah, the stuff that you used to miss, you're not going to miss another day in your life. And if you're like me and you're tired of missing stuff in your life and you're convinced that not another day, I'm not going to miss anything else. Come on, lift your hand and praise God. Tell the King of Kings, I'm staying in your will. Because you saw me before I was born. Did y'all see that? You saw me before I was born. Before I even made one step, you knew what was right. You knew I would have a best friend that had the exact same birthday. November 13th, just 6-7 years later. Do y'all understand that my wife, First Lady Rogers, was born on September 15th? I got saved on September 15th. Can you put all that stuff together? Are we reconciling where we are? There's another young lady in my church in Charlotte who has our birthday. Do you think God might be talking? And we don't believe in zodiac signs. We don't believe, amen, in worldly stuff. And watch this. Not only do we not believe in that stuff, but I got one better for you. We don't need it. Because the sign, wonders, and miracles God give us are more substantial than looking up at a star. Are y'all in here tonight? Has God ever gone to great lengths to prove that he was with you and that you were doing something the right way? Have you ever had that happen in your life? Come on, you had all kinds of spiritual nudges that this is where you should be, but why do people still then miss it? Because we're not trained in putting the devil in his place. Everybody that was stretched out here last night, amen, that didn't make it back to the house of God, and I'm glad to see new people, praise God. But guys, you understand how profound that may be in the spirit realm, amen, what God was vetting us for, what God was trying to get to me. He's always trying to get mail to me. He's always trying to get a blessing to me, yet I just determined I'm going to miss God. Somebody say, I'm not missing it on purpose anymore. And if you're not going to miss it on purpose anymore, you need that revelation that you'll no longer live for yourself. The Bible says of Jacob, amen. The Bible says of Jacob in the book of Genesis, and I want you to see this in Genesis 28:16. The word of God says something very, very profound tonight. Says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. Are you seeing this? Genesis 28 and 16. Surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Do y'all see that? So this implies that God can be somewhere, and because we are lacking discernment, God could want something to occur, but because we are lacking discerning his presence, amen, he could be trying to get something done, but because he has to obey the rules of the earth that he put in place, and I'm going to show you that momentarily. Pastor pushed on it earlier tonight. He is still obeying his rules, his laws that he put in place. God could be trying to do something, but if we are not spiritually sensitive, he could be in this place and we cannot know it. Are y'all in here? And this makes me want to fear God more. This makes me, Deuteronomy 5 and 32, don't turn there, but it makes me want to be a little more careful with my life. It makes me want to be not just mindful, but spiritually tapped in to what God is trying to get done. And I gave my church something real simple, man of God, a couple of months ago. And I hope this blesses you all, too, relative to your thought life. But watch this, y'all. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. Pretty simple. Can we go with that model for the next 6 weeks? Let's just determine, amen, that if, amen, it's something like, don't go back to Sunday night service. Let's guess who that might be. Come on, somebody help me out. Let's do a little trivia. Who you think that's telling you not do that? Okay, all right, watch this. Don't give in that offering even though you got the money. That's got to be God, right? That's God? No, that is the devil. Date your wife and give your wife the passcode to your cell phone. Who you think that is? That's probably God. Submit to mentorship and follow leadership. Who do you think that might be? That's probably God. Is that all right? Can we just simplify the model as it relates to the will of God and finally get to a place where we just reconcile that if it's good, it's God. If it's bad, come on, church. It's the devil. Y'all ain't saying nothing back. I'll teach to myself. I said, if it's good, it's God. If it's bad, okay, now let's do one more test. You down at the Galleria Mall, amen, and you just feel a nudge, oh, to go in that Invictus store, amen, and just talk to that salesperson about Jesus and take that scanner out on your cell phone and say, scan this so you can come to KCOH on Sunday morning. That's got to be the kingdom of darkness, right? The devil wants him to hear about your pastor and the gospel. Is this true? Is that probably the enemy? No, that has to be God. And how many of those misses do we get? See, that's what I'm pressing in, Pastor. Everybody else ain't working on this. But see, I read in my Bible where Jesus said, if you want to be perfect. So see, I'm senior enough now in my Christian walk to reconcile that if Jesus asked that question, it was more than rhetorical. Because when we read that scripture, come on, when we read that scripture, we understand. In fact, go on over to Matthew. Man, guys, this all right tonight? Go on over to Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 21. We're going to look at 22. Amen. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 21. And we're going to look at 22. And then we're going to look at 28. Because I want you all to see what this young man really did miss. Now, this is very important to our Christian walk. Because really, I want to ask this question again. How many of those misses do we get? And y'all, I don't know. Because he'll have mercy upon whom he has mercy. He doesn't always tell me how many more shots we get. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how many more chances we get. Amen. I feel led of the Lord to say this tonight. Amen. You never even want your pastor, amen, in a role and in a position. And thank God that he's not there. I'm not there. But we're going to put some padding on this tonight. Amen. But you never want men and women of God in a position by which they feel like they're doing their time. Because Hebrews 13 says that he ought to be able to do his job with joy. And many of the greats, Kenneth Hagin, Andrew Womack. List goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And others who pastored for a season, amen, felt at points that, man, whoo, pastor, whoo, so glad that God got me out of that. It's quiet. Do you have a pen, ma'am? May I borrow that? Anybody got a pen on the front row? I'll give it right back to you. Okay, just want to make sure. I heard it. Because quite frankly, how many times is God going to expunge the same resource to people who aren't willing to embrace the gift? That is not prophetic. That is an admonishment. See, at a certain point, a wife has got to realize who she's married to. And do you know we're the bride of Christ? And if we're the bride of Christ, amen, how many times, come on, Gomer, is he going to let us go around cheating on him, never doing his will, never doing what he asked us to do, but he still remain constant? Yeah. Pastor's got to remain constant no matter what. He got to do his thing. If nobody else does their thing, I don't got to be consistent. Somebody say amen. But that's not the way it should be, guys. That's not the way it should look. At a certain point, I got to catch on to the fact that if I'm getting all these admonishments, at a certain point, I don't even know, is the lesson coming alive now, what I'm missing. There are positive things that you missed out on by being in church, but my God, there are some negative things. There are negative things you missed out on by being in church, but there are some positive things that God wants to get to many people in this room, but he is waiting for you to do the bare minimum, like go and win somebody to Christ. Is that okay on a faith conference night? Let's look at Luke chapter 18 or Matthew chapter 19, verse number 21. Jesus said to him, if you want to be what? Perfect. If you want to be what? Perfect. Somebody say, I should want to be perfect. Go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and follow me. But here's what many believers do. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had too much carnality. He went away sorrowful because he had too much of his own will. Because he had great possessions of his own thought as to how this thing should go. Are y'all in here tonight? He had great possessions of his own ideas about how even the most menial thing in the kingdom, according to Mark chapter 4, is money. That is the most basic. But he had such myopic ideas about what could occur if he offloaded that money, and he missed it because the Bible says, had he done it, he would have had treasures in heaven. And Paul said, not that I desire a gift, but that I desire that you would have grace to abound, treasures to abound to your heavenly account. He would have become very much the more richer, even in the earth realm and in the kingdom to come. But I want you to see in the Bible where this young man really missed it. Y'all mad at me or you still love me? Look at verse number 28, because really this is what God is saying tonight, y'all. In verse number 28, Jesus said to them, assuredly, look at this. Look at what was going to happen to this young man. Assuredly, I say to you, come on, that in this generation or that in the generation, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory. Pause right there. Don't read any further. How many of y'all know that we are going to some greater places? Isn't that right? How many of you all know, and I sense this down on the inside, and I'm just going to release it. How many of you know you are literally tonight sitting in the largest church in Houston, Texas? How many of you know that by the Spirit? You are officially in the largest church. Now get the revelation of this. This is going to bless you real good. When the Son of Man, or when the ministry begins to get exalted, or when God's agenda for your life, the way he wants it to go, begins to be exalted, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of glory, you who have at a point followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That is on the heels of the rich young ruler, come on class, who what Jesus is saying, amen, had he bit the hook, there was a throne, amen, that he too was going to sit on. And we know that's true because Judas killed himself. Are y'all in here today? Yes, Somebody say, God's got a bigger place for me. But it has so much for me desiring to be perfect, wanting to do the perfect will of God. You know, we had this thing in the church years ago, the perfect versus the permissive will. We don't have time to get into all that tonight, if you even believe in that, amen. But I want y'all to know, I don't want anything permitted right now. I just really want God to show me what he's saying. And then I want to, watch this, tame myself to say yes to him every time.
Yeah.
That's where I want to be. Are you all still here tonight or are you bored? I said, are you still here or are you bored? Because over in 1 Chronicles 29 and 12, come on, let's look at the real sovereignty of God. You all still okay? Amen. 1 Chronicles 29 and 12, the Bible says, amen, relative to what God wants to get to you, amen, 1 Chronicles 29 and 12, both riches and honor come from you. Not you, come from God. And you reign over all, and look at this class, in your hand is power and what? Might. I love it, man of God. In your hand, it is to make great and to give strength to all. You know what God just got through saying? Or what the man just got through saying about God so that we would understand his ability? The Bible says in his hand is the ability to make great. Tap yourself and say, God's able to make me great.
God's able to
God has the ability to turn my life right side up in all the right directions, baby. If I would but adhere to, amen, his plan on a consistent basis. Now, let's not go too far with any one revelation, amen, because you might miss it. You might have a moment. You might get off it. That's what grace is for, and I don't want anybody to leave here tonight thinking that we are so rigorous that we out of line with this, but I do think that the clock is ticking on some hearts in the room by which God has said the same thing over and over and over again, and he's really, 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 really tried to get people to align with something that he's doing and really get in the move and the flow of God. And I'm saying, if you really want to be perfect, now is the time to get on board with the will and plan of God. Now, y'all, tonight I make myself a no reputation in preaching. I know I'm teaching what God wants you to hear. Are y'all still here? But you got to stop living life for yourself. Ecclesiastes writer said it so well. I'm almost done, man of God. May I have a few more minutes? Ecclesiastes 12, 13 said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What is the conclusion of the whole matter? He gives us two things. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of man. That's what it's all about. I mean, your life ought to be loaded with fearing God and keeping his commandments. That is the whole what class?
Duty of man.
That's what God wants. And relative to that, come on, we'll shout a little bit tomorrow night, the Lord say the same. But relative to that, if you fear God, you do his commands, guess what? It's going to be some benefits. Benefits to being in the will of God. I've been telling my brother this. I've been telling the good saints at KCC, those of you who stream in, you'll hear us saying it. You know, family that came down, they hear me saying it all the time. Y'all, I love this Christian life. I do. I can't get where everybody is who feel like when they left sin, that's the best part of their life. You know, they traded an old Volkswagen and got a Pinto or something. I don't know. I don't know how people see Jesus. Like, you know, they had the Mercedes Benz and now they got a Pinto because they got in Christianity. And I'm telling you, I'm not just trying to motivate you. I read it in the Word one day where the Bible says we have been plucked from the fire. Where the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died, which implies, amen, that if we hadn't turned from our sins, we would die and we would be burning a crisp right now. So I don't feel like I traded down when I met Jesus. I'm convinced, hallelujah, that he is the best thing that ever, oh, shout hallelujah. He is the best thing that ever happened to me. And if you feel the same way, give him great praise right there. Hallelujah. Is that good, man of God?
That's good, man.
And that's the whole duty of man.
Whole duty.
I mean, that's what life, that makes life worth living. Life is great on this side of the kingdom. You might be here tonight, y'all, and we're not going to get through all of this. Can we just flow with the Holy Ghost? Amen. You might be here tonight and contemplative of, man, what's this man talking about? First time hearing him preaching. Why he talking about if you want to be perfect? Ain't nobody perfect. Ain't nobody going to want to be perfect. But what if that's the criteria for who God uses, though? What if the criteria for who God uses is at least not perfect people, but people who want to be? Are y'all still here? For people who what class? Want to be perfect. Come on. The Bible says, amen, that the God, that the eyes of the Lord go throughout the earth looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are what class?
Perfect.
What kind of heart should they have? Is their lifestyle perfect yet? Not yet. But at least they want to. The heart has to be perfect towards God. Boy, I feel some flow in here tonight. Is anybody growing up in God tonight? Is anybody reconciling that I can no longer live for myself? Are you finally getting the revelation? I want you all to consider something. And this is not a violin, y'all, but really capture this. Man of God came, and I'm serious about this, came to Charlotte, dropped the bomb, amen, just worked his body, amen, and up late and everything in between. And we did that together. Now I'm here, and we're doing it together again, amen. Denying the flesh, totally in this thing, really about the things of God, have food trucks every night, all that kind of good stuff, amen. You know, Paul said, I'm willing to be spent for you. We are to pour our lives out like a drink offering. Isn't that right? And so at a certain point, amen, I can't even be so tapped into my rest and my own self-preservation that I deny the very calling of God on my life. And I don't need to just do it. I need to do it willingly. No, I'm not walking through the motions here tonight. I want y'all to know, and this is true, and man, if I could, I'd go to 11:30, but I won't. Come on, somebody say amen. But I'm telling you tonight, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. I can't think of anywhere else I'd rather be right now. There is nowhere else, and there's nothing else I'd rather do, amen, but to have the privilege of preaching the gospel to you. And I'm telling you, that's what God looks for. He looks for somebody that takes their job serious and is so excited about his agenda. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen next. He's going to promote you. Promotion cometh not from the east, the west, nor the south, but it comes from above when you're willing to say, take my life, Lord, pour it out, do something with it. I yield, I give it all to you. Use me for your glory. I'm no longer living for myself. And in our Western Christianity, look how much we got it made in comparison to people who got real stuff. Are y'all saying anything? The same water they defecate in is the water they drink.
Yeah, that's true.
Foreign missions. Are you saying anything that like what I'm saying in here today? Are you listening to me? And here I am tonight teaching and preaching in a tailored suit with a complaint? No, I won't be perfect. I'll never forget. There have been times we've been down here together, amen, and or up in Charlotte. It's happened both ways. It has happened both ways. And one of our members go in the hospital late at night or something like that, or after a week full of sessions, amen. I've had a member or two going even into a mental health hospital, something like that. Pastor Rondi's in town. We're in town. Yeah, man, we was going to go get something to eat, but, hey, just found out thus and so's going on. Hey, y'all, you know our life is not our own. 12, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., if it, and it won't. If it happened tonight, peradventure, do you know what we would do? We wouldn't change. We wouldn't be in the will of God. I can't be any more led by the Spirit of God tonight than I am right now. And I'm going to be led enough to stop this message, not get into these benefits. Will you come back tomorrow night? Maybe we'll shell that out a little bit. But I believe tonight, as the musicians come, tonight is about that realignment. Tonight is about really, really re, watch this, purposing yourself. repurposing yourself. It's a type of saying, you know, I used that cup for a long time to be a cup of tea, and now, as of right now, just a quick example, I'm going to repurpose it, and from now on, it's going to carry water. It's not for tea anymore. And maybe you're here tonight, and you've been carrying the sluggish tea of missing God consistently, of halfway hitting the target. And you want to repurpose yourself. Amen. Man, God taught a couple years ago about rebranding. You want to rebrand yourself. And it's not just about you rebranding and making your hair pretty and having just dignity. Sometimes rebranding is about, Father, you know what, though? I just realized that there's been so many cadences you've been rolling out to me. Amen. And I think up until now, I've been obeying about 4 out of 10. I think that if everybody was in the will of God the way God said to be in the will of God, amen, number one, I would have had 20 people with me this week. Number two, those 20 people who I invited, amen, they would have actually came. So they got to answer the will too. Isn't that right? Amen. Number three, amen, I would be giving the way he told me to give. I would be doing this the way he told me to do it. I would show up where he tells me to show up. Amen. I would say, I'm at your command, amen, without any hesitation. Because if you be willing and obedient, you eat off the good of the land. He said, I looked for a man to stand in the gap, but I couldn't find none. I want you all to understand, and I'm almost done. I think it's Isaiah 6 and 8, maybe it says, who will go, who will I send? I've been relating to God like that, Pastor. I said, so God, you have these conversations with yourself? He said, yeah. Begin to show me other scriptures. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet. God, you be reasoning? Yeah. Now, he already knows the end because he's God. But I sought for a man. Come on, Abraham. Ezekiel. Isn't this right? How many did it get down to before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed? Something like 10? 50, 45, 40, 30. Read your Bible. Couldn't find nobody to salvage Acres Home. Couldn't find nobody to salvage Sodom and Gomorrah. Couldn't find nobody to salvage the west side of Charlotte and beyond. But if you're here tonight and you want to be that person and you are realigning yourself and you're saying, no, I want to be perfect. Man of God, I plan to do a series on that. I'm stuck on that phrase. Jesus said, if you want to be, I didn't say you had to be, but do I want to be a perfect son, a perfect daughter, a perfect wife? Am I striving to be? I really am, y'all. I want you to know, I want to be a perfect, you know, Larry, I think you joined the right church. You know why? I want to be the perfect pastor to you. I do. And then you know what? Annie, I want to be a perfect husband. So Stephanie, you watching? I want to be the best husband. I want to be so balanced. Do y'all understand? A week or so ago, I went with my son all the way to Florida, despite my busy schedule, to go to the Kennedy Airspace Center and to go to all these other places, because I never want my kids to come up, amen, and write a book about me, about what a mighty apostle he was, laying hands on everybody else. But he never had time to go to a campsite with me. So the last time they had chaperones, if Stephanie didn't go, I went. You know why? Because I want to be a perfect dad. I want to be in the will of God. I want to be a perfect giver. If God say give $2,500, I don't want to give $2,000. Amen. Because $2,000 is not his will. I'd rather be over much. I'd rather give $3,000 just to make sure I gave the right amount. Because I want to be what? Perfect. I want to be perfect. If you're here tonight, you have been so gracious to me by listening. But I'm tugging on your heart. Paul said, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you would present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And you know what? That's just my reasonable service. If Lester Summerall wrote 200 books, I can't get too excited about writing just 4 in 1 year. I got to catch up because I want to be a perfect apostle as my man of God has called me. I want to do this kingdom thing we're doing together. I want to touch lives. I want to revolutionize our generation. Are y'all getting this? So if you're here tonight, first call, you don't know Jesus as Lord, that's the first step towards perfection. I want you to come on down and get born again. Every man, amen, if that's you tonight. I'm not sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I want you to come on down, if that's you. But if you're here tonight, and I know KCOH, you all teach me this. You all do this so well. I think KCC does it pretty well, but I'm always blessed by KCOH in this space. Y'all are quick to repent. Now, I've seen that. And it's because your pastor has taught that so well. That whole do your business at the altar stuff and getting broken. But we're going to take it a step further tonight. This is how we know how legitimate that is, though. What about the implementation of everything that's been taught tonight? What about I can 100% guarantee you, 100% guarantee you, that tomorrow God is going to bring somebody across your path to share him with. Money back guarantee, 100%. There's not a soul in this room tonight that is not going to bump into somebody tomorrow that Jesus doesn't want in his family. And I venture to say, if they're in Houston, that he doesn't want at this church. Y'all, we can't be like Congress and Senate anymore, kicking the budget down the street, waiting to the end of the year until we, y'all ever seen that? Midnight tonight, if we don't get an approved budget, the government's gonna shut down. We're not in that kingdom. It's time for us to do the will of God. I wonder how many people are gonna buy tickets to the rodeo and just go down there and share Jesus with somebody. I saw your pastor do that today. Go down there and bring somebody back to Christ. Amen. Yeah. Even Charlotte knows it's time to get about the will of God. Amen. So if you're here tonight, I said that to make you laugh. You're here tonight and you want to get on track, though. Come on, let's get serious. If that's you and you know, God, I've been missing it, but I'm not going to miss it no more because I officially want to be perfect. If that's you, come on down to